The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So we began this journey a couple months ago, and in the sense of me as your pastor trying to help us to realize the importance of us as a called body together, a community. Us praying for one another and us sharing scriptures with one another should be second nature. It should be something that we do often and always, not just in a Bible study group or in an accountability group or when you're meeting with your prayer partner or on a Sunday morning service. It should just be like walking, something we do every day. A couple months ago, I shared with you one of my favorite apps on the iPhone. You're like, where is he going? One of my favorite apps, does anybody remember what it was? Flappy Birds. Who said that? I honestly never even tried it until it was discontinued. How many of you were upset when it finally was discontinued? Okay, it must be just a teen thing, unless you're just not wanting to admit it. My favorite app, my favorite game on the phone is the Maps app, Google Maps. It's an amazing game. Because what happens is you put in a destination you're wanting to get to, and it tells you your ETA. You know what your ETA is? Estimated time of arrival. And it says, you know, if you leave at 12, you might get there by 12:23. It's the best game because you can try to beat it every time. I love it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm undefeated. I love that game. The other reason I like is because when you mess up, it never yells at you. You ever notice that? You might go off course or go the wrong way, and it doesn't say, hey, jerk, turn around. It doesn't say, why are you going this way again? You're going the wrong way. Why aren't you doing what I told you? It just simply says, someone just said it, recalculating. And I don't know about yours, but mine's like this nice British woman. You know, recalculate. I can't even say it. It's so nice, you know, and it's almost like, oh, I'm so sorry. It sounds so sweet. I want to apologize to my app. The truth of the matter is, though, that many of us, we get off course. We don't always go the way that we either wanted to go or maybe that even we don't even know we should be going. And the Holy Spirit is that app in our life that gently at times says, recalculating. The Holy Spirit says, you know, you may not be going the right way, but the encouraging thing here is that the GPS, at least for me, has always been able to tell me how to get to where I'm going from wherever I am, no matter how far off course I get. It may take a little longer to get there. Maybe a U-turn or two involved. But it can always tell me how to get to where I should be. And that's the truth about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in our lives to remind us of where we should be. Where we should be going. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to comfort us. As I've been going through this study, I've been listening to different authors. Of course, I've been doing the Francis Chan study, Forgotten God, with the community groups. And one of the things I heard recently is that oftentimes we look at the Holy Spirit and we want the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, but many times we have it all together on our own that we really don't need the Holy Spirit. At least we live that way. We act that way. We don't always call out to Him. We don't always look to the Holy Spirit for advice, for guidance. Let's face it. Who needs a comforter when we're already comfortable? The Holy Spirit is there to be our comforter, to be our guide. And many times, you know, as you look through scriptures, you even see people like Paul who said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering so that I can be made more like Him. And the truth of the matter is that maybe some of us just aren't suffering enough. Maybe some of us are just content where we are. My encouragement to us is that the Holy Spirit is here and lives in the body of every single one of us who are a child of God. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, the scriptures say that if you look to the cross and you know that Jesus took your place in that cross, that you believe that he died for your sins, and you are willing to call out to him as Savior, he will come and save you. He'll come and save you from yourself, from your sins, from eternal separation from God. He is here to save you. But unfortunately, many of us stop there. We know Jesus as our Savior, but we need to come to know him as our Lord, to where he is first in every area of our life, not just fire insurance. Is Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord? We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture today, and my hope and encouragement is that the Holy Spirit, you'll hear his voice to you today saying, recalculating. That you'll hear him saying, I've got a destination for you. And don't worry, it may take us a little longer to get there, but no matter what you've done, I know how to lead you to where you should be. And my hope is that today we will hear that voice, that we will open our hearts to receive the fullness of Christ and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. So where are we going with this? In order to save us some time today, I'm going to share a couple passages of Scripture to you, but I'm going to really let them speak for the most part for themselves, because the Holy Spirit is speaking through this Word. This Word is God-breathed, and they are powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through bone and marrow into the depths of our soul. So receive these words that are shared with you today, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. In the very beginning of the church, I told you at the beginning of our study that throughout the Old Testament, the part of God, or the being of God, God the Father, in the Old Testament, interacted with people. He spoke to people. He spoke through prophets. And then time came when Jesus Christ, God in flesh, came and dwelt with us, moved into our neighborhood, lived with us for 33 years. And as his time on earth was coming to an end, he promised those who were following him that another would come. And this word another doesn't mean a different kind. The word another actually is Jesus saying, I am going, but one just like me. Another one just like me is coming. It's going to actually be better for you that I go and that he come and live in you. And he promised the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts, we see the beginning of the church, and we see Jesus telling his close followers, I want you to stay and continue the mission I've given you, but wait. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. So at the very time of waiting, Peter and the disciples and many of the followers were waiting in the town of, in the city of Pentecost. There was a year where people were traveling from all over the region. And Peter got up after being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven at the very first time in this way. And he filled the hearts of all the believers. And they went out and they started proclaiming boldly the message of God. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the unfolding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you were far from him, but he loved you and he forgave you. And he died for you. And now if you believe in him, you can be his child. And he says this in verse 36, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says this, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this person, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Messiah and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do about this? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit was poured out on earth, and this began what is called the church age, the age in which we live now. And now God lives in the hearts of the believers. Those of us in this room who know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in us. My question today, though, is, are you living in the Spirit? Are you walking so that each and every step is led by our Lord? I want us to do some self-evaluation today. I want us to look at ourselves and to really let God see us for who we really are. He knows who you are. He knows everything going on in your life, and He just wants you to agree with Him. What good is a gift if we don't do what we're supposed to do with it? The Holy Spirit is a gift freely given. It would almost be like somebody giving me a treadmill, and after owning it for a month, looking at it and saying, I've lost no weight, and going back to the store and returning it and saying, I want my money back. The salesperson turned around and said, did you ever use it? That's how we handle the Holy Spirit. We have this gift in our life, but are we using it? Are we surrendering to it? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us? I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5, the beginning of our exam, if you will. Galatians chapter 5. This passage is popularly known as the fruits of the Spirit. I want to share with you that I hate fake fruit. Does anybody here have a display of fruit in their home? Fake fruit? John Demko? Are you serious? Okay. Does anybody here have fake fruit in their home? Nobody? Wow, I like you people. I hate fake fruit. Growing up, I had a friend, and we had been out riding bikes all day, worked up an appetite. As a child, I did not like eating fruit, but I was so hungry that I was willing to take anything, an apple, an orange, a banana, whatever. So we get to his house, and he says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm starving. Can I grab something? He's like, sure, go get something out of the kitchen. I go, and I look, and there's really nothing there except for this lame bowl of fruit. So I went up to the fruit, and I grabbed it, and something felt really weird about this fruit. I went to bite it, and it would not bite. Glad you found that funny, Margaret. From that moment on, I have hated fake fruit. And God does too. A lot of us in our lives, and there can be times when we look all good on the outside. That fruit looked real. It had that, I don't know, finish on it. It was shiny where it needed to be shiny. It looked like real fruit. It looked great on the outside, but inside it was hollow. It was empty. There was nothing good about it at all on the inside. And some of us, if we look at our lives, we'll see that we are in some ways like that. We've got fake fruit. We have fruit hanging on our limbs that if someone came and inspected closely, you'd see those Christmas hangers attached to them, and they're just kind of hanging there. They're not really growing. We just kind of place them there so we look like we have it together, but on the inside, we're really struggling. John 15, we don't have to go there, but John 15 says, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you are truly connected to me, if I am truly the source of life in your life, you will bear fruit. You will. It's a guarantee. It's not if you are do enough work on your own. It's if the Holy Spirit is in you. If you are connected to Christ, the result will be you will bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5 says it like this. I'm going to start in verse 16. It says, "So I say then, live by the Spirit." Some translations say walk in the Spirit. I really like that picture a little better. But either way, living, everything you do should be by the Spirit. Walking, everywhere you should go, it should be by the Spirit. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." How many of you sometimes want to do what's wrong? Just admit it. Sometimes there are things that I want to do that are just wrong. And it's in conflict with the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, those desires, they're in conflict. And there's this war that rages within me. And whichever side I'm feeding most is going to win. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not obey what you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. For the first five chapters of this study, which we took like a year to go through and didn't even finish, by the way, you can go find Galatians, like 60 episodes of Galatians on the podcast. But anyways, we looked at the first five chapters where Paul was reminding these Jews that they were no longer under the law. If they would let the Holy Spirit come in their life, the Holy Spirit would invade every area of their life, and this naturally fruit would be produced. And therefore, they wouldn't be under the law. The law was like an MRI, I said every week. An MRI tells you what's wrong in your body. It shows the illness and the disease and the brokenness. But it's powerless to cure it. It points out what's wrong and says you need intervention. You need an operation. You need a procedure. But it can't fix it on its own. In the same way, the law shows us what's broken in our lives and shows us that we need the Spirit. The Spirit is the only cure for us. If we let the Holy Spirit come in, fruit will naturally come. Let's jump down to verse 22. "The fruits of the Spirit are these." And I printed these out for you actually in your handouts if you have those pages. "The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." When Christ died on the cross, we were set free to not have to give in to our sinful passions and lusts and desires. Instead, the freedom that Christ brought in the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life sets us free from having to be slaves to the sinful desires in our life. In verse 26, it says, 27, "Since we live by the Spirit then, let us keep in step by step, walking with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other." I want you to turn to 2 Peter as I draw some connections here. I want us to begin to look at our life over these next few moments and to look and say, is there fruit in my life? Are these the things that are evidence of the salvation in my life? Am I walking with the Spirit? And are these kinds of things what others see? If not, we have some recalculating to do. 2 Peter. Peter got the message clearly. Galatians, where we just were, Paul confronted Peter to his face. Can you imagine going up to Peter, the apostle Peter, and confronting him, saying, "You're off, bud. You're wrong. You've got it wrong here. You've gotten off course." Paul had to recalculate Peter in Galatians. Thankfully, Peter got it. And thankfully, as Peter got off course and had to be recalculated and got back on course, the same is true for you and me. And Peter writes these words to us as believers. And I hope these words hit you in a powerful way this morning. Peter is talking to believers, and he's saying, make sure that you are really what you think you are. Just because you've grown up in church all life doesn't make you a Christian. In the same way, just because you grow up on a farm feeding chickens all the time doesn't make you a chicken. For those of you that remember the coffee house skit from 2 years ago. Are you sure that you're truly a believer? Are you sure that Christ has come into your life and saved you? Are you sure that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you? How do we know? Is there fruit in your life? And not just fruit, but look at this. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Peter's saying, I want you to make sure of your calling. I want you to make sure that you're a believer. For this very reason, verse 5. Make every effort. Do you guys remember those report cards where you used to get a grade for actual grade and a grade for effort? How many of your grades for effort were higher than your grades for actual grades? That made me feel a little better. Effort talks about us realizing we have something we have to do. Yes, Christ saved us. There is nothing we can do to earn our own salvation. All that was needed for us to be saved happened by the power and presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit taking our place on that cross in our place. Christ did it all. And now the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives to sanctify us, to set us apart, and to make us the people He's called us to be. But this free gift given by God requires our effort. Are you making every effort to walk in the Spirit? For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Sure, you've got a faith. You believe that God is there. But are you adding to that faith good works? Good works won't save you. You can do as much good as you want to and still fall short of the kingdom of God. But if you truly are a believer, truly born again of the Spirit, there will be fruit of good works in your life. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. Are you making every effort to get into the Word of God? To know of Him? To know of the things that He is there to teach us? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities, pay attention to these next words, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So my question to you this morning, as we enter into a time of self-reflection, as I want you to look at that sheet that I passed out in your handouts, that lists out the fruits of the Spirit, that lists out the verse that I just wrote, and I want you to look at that as we take some time just to sit before God. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, am I living the kind of life you want me to live? Are these fruits abundant in my life? Is there an increasing measure of these things in my life, or are they missing? Or maybe have they even begun to grow yet? As we enter into this time, I want you to realize that Ephesians 5:18 says this. The only way that we can have the fruits in our life, the only way that we can live the kind of way that God has asked us to live, is if we surrender ourselves completely to Him. We can't go out and try to pile up works, pile up fruit, and then we'll get filled by the Holy Spirit. We'll get all that God wants us to offer when we do our part. You've got to first surrender to God. And when you surrender to Him and say, Holy Spirit, come into my life, and He begins to show you areas of your life that are closed off to Him, open them up to Him and allow Him to come in and invade you. This is how we begin to be filled by the Holy Spirit. When we walk in obedience, when we put our faith and say, where I have faith, God, now I will put action, and I am stepping into the faith that I have, and God, I pray that you come and you give me the joy that I'm missing. You give me the peace. You give me the love. You give me the self-control, the patience. God, all of these things in my life that I'm supposed to have, show me where I'm lacking. Show me where I need you. Come into my life and fill me. And here is how I want us to do this. As we've spent time going into this morning in community, hearing from one another scriptures and encouraging words, spending time praying for one another and for those who are not here, I want us to continue realizing that God has brought us together as a community, a family. No one is to walk this spiritual journey alone. At the beginning, you were introduced to people who love you and genuinely want to pray for you and are lifting you up. And I want us to take this next step together as a family. I'm going to ask our community group leaders that feel comfortable doing this, our prayer team members, that you would just stand around the sides in the back of the room. And as you sit in this room, and community group leaders and prayer group leaders, if you know that God is dealing with you right now as well and you need to take this step yourself, then I want you to do that as well. I want you to look at your life and allow God to show you, where am I closed off to you, God? Where am I not letting your Holy Spirit truly come in and fill every area of my life? And even if it's just a short sentence, maybe something like, I don't have the joy of the Spirit in my life, then I want you to go and I want you to share that with one of our prayer team members, and I want you to let them pray for you. That your heart would be open to the full, open power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life. And so over these next few moments, I want you to just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Do I have these fruits? What are you saying to me, God? And that you would, in obedience, respond to the Holy Spirit by saying, I see what you're showing me, and I know that I've got to come to you and ask for forgiveness, and that you would bring this in fullness into my life. And I'm not asking you to pray for joy. I'm not asking you to pray for love. I'm not asking you to pray for patience. What I'm asking you to pray for is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because where the Holy Spirit is, those fruits will naturally come. So don't try to fill your life with things that will make you happy, that will make you loving, but instead fill your life with God and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and love and joy and peace and patience and self-control will follow. Because they are results of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And maybe for you, you need to start by saying, I put my faith in you, Jesus. Because without you putting your faith first in Christ, you have no Holy Spirit in you. So let me lead us into this time of prayer and self-reflection. And then as the music plays, I want you to just to read over these verses, to pray with your spouse, to pray with your friend, And to take time to move to the prayer team and let them pray with you. Let's not keep this to ourselves. This journey is to be walked together. And I pray that the Holy Spirit just comes and invades us all and takes us where we need to be. We let Him recalculate us. Father God, I pray right now that you would have your will and your way in this place. God, many of us, we understand that you love us. We understand you died for us. We want you as our Savior. But God, I pray that you show us how we can make you our Lord. I pray that you show us how we can open up the closed areas of our life where we have not opened up to you. And God, that we would let you come in and fill every area of our life. In your word in Ephesians 5:18, you say that we are not to try and fill our lives with things that will make us drunk, with things in life that will fill us, not to be drunk with wine and the things of this world, but instead to be filled by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So God, we pray that you come. We pray that you come and you just show us, God, your love for us. No matter how far we've drifted or gotten off course, let us hear your gentle, still voice say, recalculating, I want to take you to where I want you to be. And God, that we would yield our hearts to you, that we would become open vessels, surrendered to you, letting you fill every area of our life. And God, I pray for those in this room whom their first step may be to put their faith in you as their Savior, to know that you died on a cross for them, and that today they would say, yes, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Come into my life and be my Savior, God, and show me how I can let you be my Lord. Come and save me. Rescue me from my sin, from myself, from separation from you. God, come and fill my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for me and forgiving me of my sins. Come and fill me. So, Lord, I pray that you would just move in our hearts, each of us. Draw us to repentance, so that we can have the full gift that you offer and that we would walk in it. So as the Spirit leads, I invite you just to sit there as long as you need to. But as you feel like you're ready, you've heard from God, I want to encourage you to go to one of our prayer teams. There are people standing all around the room. And you go up and you just let them know what it is that God is speaking to you about, and you let them pray for you. And as we end service today, as you are done praying with the Lord and making this step of commitment to allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life, I'll invite you before you leave today to come and to receive communion, remembering that Christ's body was broken for us. His blood was shed to make this all possible. So let the Holy Spirit move. Let him lead you and respond as he does.